Welcome to Be Customer Led, where we'll explore how leading experts in customer and employee experience are navigating organizations through their own journey to be customer led and the actions and behaviors employees and businesses exhibit to get there. And now, your host, Bill Stakos.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another week of Be Customer Led. You know I love bringing you folks interesting guests with really cool backgrounds. Caroline Melli is someone that I met a couple of months back, and she's one of the most interesting people I know. Not only has she started her own business, which shows an incredible amount of courage, she started a business, a program called Better Leadership, Better Experiences. And it helps growth-minded leaders in the service industry improve the experience they offer their teams, their clients, and their guests. She's got a really neat background working for Cirque du Soleil. She actually ran the VIP experience teams across 17 different countries over a 10-year period, which is like a ton of travel, which is pretty amazing. And we're going to get into this in a second, but she's also been to 41 countries. Now, traveling to 41 countries is not an easy thing to do at all, right? But it shows that this person has an extreme amount of depth, an extreme amount of understanding of a culture and people. And I'm really excited. We're going to talk a little bit about our program today and, you know, why leadership is so important to the customer experience. Caroline, thanks so much for coming on the show.
What a great introduction. Thank you so much. I'm excited.
Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. I always ask every guest, just tell us about your journey and, you know, what led you even all the way back, you know, Cirque du Soleil, all this stuff, all this great experience that you have, you know, up until like what made you decide to like just kind of flip the switch and start your own thing and start this program?
Yeah, so you mentioned that I'm well traveled. I actually grew up traveling. I grew up in Australia, but I was born in New Zealand. My father's French, so there's this whole big mix of many different cultures within the one family. And so travel was just a part of my upbringing. It was a part of our entire family. So it's almost like if I wasn't traveling, then something would be wrong, which has been an interesting over the last year, right? A big part of my story is working for Cirque du Soleil, as you mentioned, 10 years. And, you know, I started in front of house roles, in food and beverage roles, always on tour. So we were always moving. And that is the most unique part of my leadership experience in that I was running a team and leading a team. And then 2 months later, I was changing places and restarting and going again. Now, when you're working in the one country, say North America or America, you're relatively with the same type of people. Obviously, it changes a little bit state by state. But think mm-hmm. when you're doing that in Europe and you're actually changing countries, cultures, languages every 2 months. And that is my favorite part of my experience and really what has added, I think, a huge amount of depth to what I'm doing and different unique insights into where I'm at now with leadership. So that was a 10-year career. Sprinkled in amongst that was a stint running the entertainment department on a cruise ship I did. I worked for Lululemon Athletica, helping them open a couple of different stores around the world. And then at the beginning of last year, I think a lot of people know that Cirque du Soleil basically just fell apart.
Yeah,
you know, there was no live shows.
Yeah.
So I was already on my way out. You know, 10 years is a long time and I was ready for the next thing. It is very hard to leave that kind of environment, you know, where you're traveling the way that I did. So the pandemic really helped me to kind of, well, push me into that next stage. And it took a very long time for me to figure out how my skill set, how my uniqueness, my expertise can actually transform into an offering, something, some way of giving value mm-hmm. to others in my industry. And, you know, it took a lot of time. It took different coaching programs, different mentors. And I finally realized, you know, at this point now, a year later, I have this incredible program that I'm incredibly proud of. And it is within this beautiful industry of the service industry where we are serving others and really yeah. focusing on the experience itself. So no matter what the field is. So yeah, that's kind of a little bit of a background and my story, a mix of travel, a mix of leadership in different countries. But sometimes I didn't even speak the language. So it's been a very interesting journey to get from there to here.
All right. So I have to ask you, what was your favorite? And I know this is like the really tough question because there's so many beautiful places in the world, but like, what was your favorite country? And I'll also ask you, what was the most difficult language for you to kind of either get your ear accustomed to or maybe even try and pick up a few words?
So to answer the first question, I mean, that is a very difficult question, isn't it?
Yeah,
I'm very drawn.
And you don't want to disparage anybody.
Yeah. Well, I'm very drawn to the Mediterranean. My family goes back quite far to Spain, to Malta, to France. And I've always been drawn to this area of the world. I'm currently in Montenegro right now, transitioning over to Greece in the next month or so. And there is something, there's a magic about the Mediterranean Sea and every landmass, yeah, I guess, that touches it, that has always had me kind of under its spell, especially in the last 5 years or so. And so that is the region that I stay within as much as possible because I just love it here. If I had to pick a favorite, it would be Greece. I'm moving to Greece, so it's good that those two align. Although I never worked in Greece with Cirque du Soleil, it was more of me traveling to get there. So Greece is definitely on the top of my list. And once you travel a lot, it's more of a feeling because you experience many things, many cultures, many languages, mm-hmm, different foods, different ways of living. And I think once you get to a point where you're traveling quite extensively, the thing that actually grabs you is actually a feeling that oftentimes is indescribable. And that's what happened with me in Greece and where the love affair began and is still going. And then in terms of the language, especially from a work point of view, I was in Russia, in Moscow for 3 months and I was with Cirque du Soleil and I had to lead a team there without speaking the language and they spoke a lot better English than I did Russian, but that doesn't really, right, you know, it's still very, very couple words here and there. So I actually had to lead a team through a translator and that was a crazy, crazy experience. Like I didn't even know to expect and that just threw me because it's hard. You can't really show your personality, or you can, but it's delayed. There's a delay in reactions. And so I think Russian for me, but from a professional point of view, in terms of me trying to communicate, mm-hmm, in the way that I would love to communicate with my energy and my style with this huge barrier of a language. So,
wow, that's really, so Russian. So I was in Moscow. This is going back like 1997. 97, yeah, 97, 98 in there. That actually was one of the more difficult languages for me to try and pick up. Love the city though. It's absolutely gorgeous. But you know, we have listeners in Moscow. So, you know, for my Moscow folks, my peeps there, love the city, would love to go back at some point. And as a Greek American, folks, she's not kissing up to the host. Like she does love Greece. So, that's legit. And the Mediterranean water is like something so special, like nothing else out there actually. Yeah. Right. All right. So let's talk about the platform. It's not just a platform, right? It's also a community. Yeah. And it's around improving leadership. When I looked at the program, I thought the thing that was really, you know, right off the bat that I just thought was really interesting, Caroline, was that you start with understanding your experience, not looking within, so to speak, right? You get there, but you start off with understanding your experience. Why start there?
Yeah, so I kind of decided to call myself an experience strategist when I realized that the place that I wanted to sit, almost the niche, if you will, is not even a niche at all. It is the experience itself. And I think this stems a lot from traveling, from working in different cultures and realizing that there are so many incredible experiences out there. However, there are so many good experiences that could be very good to great if only there was a little bit more attention to detail, personalization, better, mm-hmm, leadership. And I continually saw that again and again and again and again, no matter where I was in the world. You know, I'd be sitting, even just as simple as sitting in a restaurant, observing what was going on, not being able to understand what they're saying, and just think, there's just sitting here going, oh, if only they'd done this and that. And so that's when I realized I want to focus on the experience itself. And when we're creating experiences, you know, I call out us experience creators. When we're creating experiences, I think often we sit in the logistics zone, right? We need to figure out like the budget and then this and that and how we're going to, and do we need a team? And it's obviously an incredibly important element to the experience that you're creating. But mm-hmm. I have a theory that actually a great experience, the thing that is going to, you know, flip that switch from good to great is actually in leadership. And we don't often connect the two, right? We don't often connect, oh, let's have this incredible experience. Okay, before I look at improving any of the logistics, let's look at, can I improve how I lead this experience or this team better? And I think we don't make that connection enough. And so the reason that I start with understanding the experience is because, again, I think we think too logistically sometimes, and I think we overcomplicate things way too much in this regard. And so, you know, to give you an example, one of the modules in that section is actually what four elements make an incredible experience. And I came up with these four elements, this list, after interviewing many people on my own podcast, The Experience Creators. And the very last question I ask all of them is what element makes an incredible experience? And no matter what field they came from, expertise, country, language, they always said the same thing in a different way, which I found really, really fascinating. And it came down to the four elements of personalization, a sense of belonging or a connection, memorability, and then shareability. And once I kind of figured out those four elements, I was like, okay, so we're going to start with the experience. Let's understand it better in terms of those four elements. Then let's understand our role within the experience itself and what we are trying to achieve with our guests. Again, sometimes we think too operationally. We think, oh, this is a, you know, we were talking about the Mediterranean. Okay, this is a tour around the Malta, you know, around Malta and to the islands nearby. Mm-hmm. Instead of, who are our guests coming on this and what are they, how are they, how do we want them to feel at the end? You know, is there a little transformation that we want them to have? So all of these thought provoking questions that, again, I don't think that we dive into enough when we're creating. And that's why when we talk about better leadership, better experiences, the first step is understanding the experience that you want to offer on a deeper level than operational logistical.
So I love that because, right, the operational and logistical will be driven by what kind of transformation do you want to create in right. individuals at the end of the day anyway, right? So right. why even start talking about that? Because it will put you into a box.
Yes.
Right? And you won't be able to deliver that. How do you, so let's think about like, you know, so I love the four elements, totally agree. How do you start to think about, or maybe what are some of the best practices you've seen and, you know, on your podcast as well? How do you kind of translate those back into an experience? Maybe just like take a couple of minutes maybe to think about, talk about that.
Yeah. So let's take the first element, personalization, right? In theory, yeah. personalization is very easy, right? You need to somehow bring a personalized element to the guest. Now, if you're talking about hundreds of people, even if you're leading a team, it's a lot more difficult than if you're a villa, you know, and you have one family that's coming or a couple that's coming. Obviously, there's yeah. different elements. But for me, that these four elements actually compound on each other, right? The more personalized you can make it, the earlier and the quicker they are going to fall into that sense of connection with you and the experience. The more memorable it will be, and then the easier it will be able to for you to share it in a positive way. So personalization is the first step, in my opinion. And I'll give you the perfect example. I actually recently signed up to a course creators bootcamp while I was creating my program, and it was, you know, a low ticket item. Signed up, and then it was starting in a couple of days, and a couple of hours later, I received a video message from one of the coaches. On a platform saying, "Hi, Caroline, welcome to the program. We're so excited to have you," et cetera, et cetera. It was about a minute long. And I was like, whoa, that's so cool. First of all, you know, they've acknowledged me yeah. individually as a unique person in this program when they probably have hundreds of people in it. And now I already feel connected to, first of all, this guy that's speaking to me, but also to the program. Now I'm even more excited about the program because of that short 1-minute video that he sent me. And now I've actually stolen that idea. And now when I do my webinars and when I do my workshops, anyone that attends, I also send them a personalized video afterwards to thank them for coming. And the response that I get from that is incredible. And so that is a small example of how you taking a couple of minutes to record a short video that is joining you with them either before or after, that makes a huge impact. It really, really does. So I think sometimes we overcomplicate these elements like personalization, but we're humans seeking connection with other humans, right? So how can we, how can that bridge be the first thing that we cross before we even get to the experience? If you're able to make that connection, and if you are able to help your guest feel that sense of belonging or connection before they even come on the experience with you. I mean, imagine the head start that you have already received, right? So that's why personalization is an example of where to start.
Totally. That's awesome. You know, one of the things in customer experience we talk a lot about is peak end rule, which, what is your satisfaction with through the journey at the peak of the experience, meaning how happy or how upset you are, and at the end of that journey as well. You've in theory created the end of the journey by sending a personalized video and creating that great experience. It's what they're going to remember most. I love that you do that. So you also cover some really important, really important topic. It's called leading yourself. So not a lot of people may understand what that means, Caroline. So can you describe, like, what does that mean to you? And what advice do you have for our listeners on further developing this super important competency? Because you don't have to be a leader to lead yourself. You can be an individual contributor even, right? So tell us a little bit about that.
So this section of the program, and even just this theory in general, came from two things. From me observing terrible, terrible leaders in my own space, like my bosses, their bosses, people that I thought were just shockingly bad leaders. And me having enough awareness to try and figure out why are they so terrible, and trying to pick up on their triggers and try to pick up on why they're leading the way that they're leading. So that was the first kind of exploration that I went down. And I always came to the same conclusion that there's something that is away from this experience that maybe I'm having a confrontation with them that is actually the root cause of this, right? We all know that things like triggers and stuff like that go way back than the moment itself. And then the second element was really around my love for developing up and coming leaders. I love that idea of mentorship. And I also found that they were also sitting in a very logistical space in terms of how they were going to lead other people and how they were leading the experience. And when we started to discuss how they can actually become better leaders, once I started to talk about different elements, like, well, how do you show up for yourself every day as a leader? You know, I worked on a cruise ship. Sometimes there were people in my team that would wake up like hungover all the time and then wonder why, you know, they didn't have a great day and wonder why they were being triggered and having these confrontations. And I'm like, okay, let's just strip all of that away and let's start with you, right? And so those are the two elements that came together from my own personal experience. Again, no matter where I was in the world, no matter what language we were speaking, no matter what culture I was in, I always felt that element of self-leadership. How you are leading yourself on a daily basis will directly reflect on then, of course, how you're going to lead others and the experience overall. And think about it. I mean, I think about when I was 20 years old and I was first starting out in leadership, nobody ever talked to me about this kind of stuff. You know, we didn't learn it. It wasn't part of our self-awareness. Like, oh, let me think a little bit about how I'm the leader that I am for myself before I lead others. And so that's why I think it's really crucial, because we don't often start in that place. We start with the team, whereas a lot of times the work needs to be done with ourselves, really, before we even get there. So that's why that is the first leadership section of the program.
Very cool. Gosh, if I could only go back and talk to my 22-year-old self. Oh my gosh,
I think about that on a daily basis. I think about, like, if I took my program when I was 20, where I'd be now.
Yeah, no kidding. All right. So there's a thing in there. You talk about a leadership vision statement. Now, since seeing your program, I'm starting to try and write one out, but I think I'm failing. So I love vision statements, one, because it helps people understand like where do we need to go like together, right? I've never seen it for an individual though, which I thought was really fascinating. So I'm trying to write my own. I'm still writing it out. I'll send it to you. I'd love your feedback if you don't mind. Yeah. But how do you create one? How do you kind of tell people like where do you start?
So I think again, this follows on from the last question around. I really wanted to create this because a lot of my early experience in leadership was me being led by pretty terrible managers, right? A couple of experiences really stand out in my journey. Of course, they were incredibly difficult to go through, but oftentimes that's where your greatest learning is, right? I learned absolutely how to not be a leader through these people, which is very important. You don't realize at the time, I think, but it's more a hindsight kind of revelation. And so in this vision statement section, it's quite simple how I lay it out in let's do two columns of what is a good leader and what is a bad leader. And I think there are commonalities, of course. We know, you know, what makes a good leader, what makes a bad leader, but everybody has their own unique experience, expertise, where they come from. You know, leadership may look very different in the US as it does in France, you know, depending on where you are. There's so many different unique elements that you can bring in to what you want to try and achieve. And I think where I find that vision statement is really important. You know, we do a lot of goal setting these days and we try to figure out different elements of how we want to progress. But what kind of leader do we want to be? And I think this is an opportunity to get really creative, right? Don't just write down the things that you think you should write down, what makes a good leader. Oh, I want to be a good communicator. I want to be great at time management. You know, all the things that, of course, are important, but you just usually check that box. How can you create a statement that really kind of showcases your unique abilities, showcases your unique experience and background as a way to lead other people, right? The way I lead people is very, very different to somebody else, but I'm proud of that and I want to build on that and I continually want to learn how I can find those things that work and keep growing and growing and growing. But my style is completely different to the next person. So that's why that section is there, is how can we find our own unique leader in what we already know to be true in leadership in our own context, in our own environment.
So very cool. Can I share my vision?
Yeah, let's do it.
Should we just do this on it? Okay. So I'm going to paraphrase, but not exactly, but like someone who is known for expressing his love for great experiences, his love for the work and the detail in developing those, his love for his team, right? And his love for getting smarter every day.
I love that.
And I don't know why I use love so many times, but like I deeply am passionate about this work. Right.
Yeah.
And as well as my team. But isn't that so interesting, there was a couple of things that I want to put in there.
Isn't that so interesting though, that was a reoccurring theme as you were writing that out. I think you wouldn't have known that until you kind of wrote it out. You know, a coach actually did an exercise with me recently around achievement and what do I deem as being successful, right? And she looked at it in different currencies. Like, what is your currency? Your currency could be money. So financial success is the most important.
Sure.
Your currency could be achievement. You know, you have you get awards or your success could be productivity. You have a checklist that you are just bomb at ticking off. And then the last one she said is impact. And that is where I realized that I sit. And that's why I started to think about, okay, if my currency is impact, how am I trying to get there from a leadership point of view? So it's a really interesting connection to think about what is that currency that is driving me? What are those success factors? Because they're different for everyone. And I think oftentimes we fall into the category that we probably don't belong in because we're just told that, right? Like financial success is the perfect example. And then how do you now with those lessons partner that with this vision statement? And, you know, for you, you've realized that there's a lot of passion involved there, a lot of love involved there. So I think, again, this is an exploration of you, right? And how you're joining all these elements of your background, your culture, your own experience into something that will help move you forward, which we do a lot in goal setting, but we don't, I think, do a lot in leadership.
Yeah. I can't believe I just shared that on this podcast. That's all right. It's all good. I'm an open book. Doesn't really matter. All right. So through this program, you're mastering yourself, right? You also talk about leading your team. So what are some of those? And I know we talked a little bit about, really paying attention to those bad leaders that shaped you into a great leader, right? I'm sure you had some great leaders that you looked at and said, oh my gosh, I have to take that with me wherever I go. Mm-hmm. We've all had that, those experiences, good or bad. So when you think about leading your team, what are some of those critical elements, and how does that then tie back into leading yourself? Like, and I guess part of my question is, can you be a good leader of teams if you don't practice good self-leadership? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would argue no if I had to give a yes or no answer. But of course, there's many layers, right, to that question.
Yeah.
Leading your team section. Every time I talk about a different section in my program, I say it's my favorite section. And now I just stop saying that because I guess they're all my favorite. But I try to take on this element of leading your team in a different way, right? I've tried to make this program as unique as possible from the context of my own experience. So the different sections within leading your team are some different elements, like quick but inspiring onboarding. You know, I come from an environment, entertainment, events, hospitality, that world, the service industry, where, I mean, I was changing teams every 2 months for 10 years. I didn't have the luxury of time to get to know them, to do trial periods, to figure things out. Usually I would receive my staff from the hiring agency. That day I would train them. And then that night we would have the premiere of the show, which was the most important night of the entire city run. So I didn't have time I had to figure out how to execute on quick but inspiring onboarding, right? So that's one element. Another element in there is looking at, I love the lesson of teaching life skills, not tasks. You know, I was only with my guys for a period of 2 months, and I always said to myself, okay, what am I teaching them now that they will be able to take on to their next opportunity after that, and even just in their life in general? So because the work itself was pretty straightforward, cash registers, speaking with guests, running the bar, et cetera, I focused more on what am I teaching them? And I did that a lot through letting them run the experiences and me just kind of being there to oversee and make sure they didn't burn anything down, But so there's different elements within that section. Also, another section is difficult, challenging conversations and implementing change. Mm-hmm. And the one element in leading your team, to your first question is, I think when people ask me about leadership, my number one kind of go-to is leading with curiosity. And again, an element that I think we don't explore enough as leaders, because I think curiosity challenges our ego a little bit, right? If we are seen to be curious, if we are seen to be asking questions, oh my gosh, now we don't know what we're supposed to know. Oh, people are going to think we're not good leaders because we're asking
imposters.
Right? But what I found in my own experience, when I was working in these different cities, of course, I was the expert from an operational point of view, from an overarching customer service point of view. But who was the expertise in the guests that we were there to ultimately serve? It was my team, because they were from that place. In Russia, oh my God, I was definitely not the expert. Who were the expert in the guests, the 2,000 people that came every day? It was my team. They were from Moscow, or at least they were Russian. So they had all of these incredible deep insights. They had all of these great ideas that if I didn't ask them about, we never would have implemented any of them. And we would have stayed on this very one track that wouldn't have connected the experience with the actual guests that were coming to the show each day. And so that is why curiosity for me is really interesting, and where I talk about it a lot when leading your team. How can we be more curious through asking intelligent questions? I heard a quote recently, and it was quality questions, quality life. And I just love, I like literally stopped what I was doing and wrote it down because I loved it so much. So it's like, how, as we, as leaders, can we be curious? How can we make our team feel that we actually really value what they have to say and actually execute on what they're telling us, not just go, oh yeah, that's a great idea, we're moving on. And I think if you are able to create that beautiful cycle, leading your team becomes a really magical thing.
Curious. I mean, if you're asking the right questions to your team, also it means they know that you're listening, that you are giving them everything that you have in that room, right? Which is so critical to that relationship. In your program, the last sort of module is leading your guest. Now, this show is called Be Customer Led. So I'm like, what the heck does Caroline mean by leading your guest, right? And because even at the top of the show, right, when thinking about, you know, understanding your experiences, you're working from the customer backward. But now you're talking about leading the guest. So tell us a little bit about what that is. And there are 6 stages in there. I don't know if you can share at least some of the stages. I think it would be interesting for people to hear.
Yeah, so leading your guests is the last module, right? Because first you've understood the experience, then you've figured out how to be a better leader for yourself, then you've worked on leading your team, and now you need to work on leading your guests. And generally as leaders, depending on the role that we play in the experience itself, oftentimes it's not actually us that are really have those major touch points with the guests, right? It's our teams. And so what I really try to achieve with this section is, do you understand the journey of your guest? Do you understand where they're coming from and how they will finish with you at the ends? You know, and I will take Cirque du Soleil, for example. The first stage is the dream state. So this is even before they figured out that they want to come on your experience. And this could be even, this could be a restaurant, this could be a supermarket, it doesn't matter. You can apply this to really anything. But before they've even figured out that they want to go to a Cirque du Soleil show, how are you trying to get kind of into their minds? What are they probably thinking about? They want to see something that will take their breath away. They want to see something magical. They want to step outside of their stressful life and maybe just have 2 hours without their children screaming in the background, and they want to experience something they've never seen before. You know, that's the kind of thing that a lot of people, when they're going to a Cirque du Soleil show or thinking about it, they're probably some of those considerations. You know, and then we move into the different stages, like the preparation. What is the preparation involved before they get to the experience itself? Then the arrival, the main event, the finale, which is that final touch point with your guest, as you mentioned before, when you're looking at the different touch points and the different moments within the experience, that is highly, highly important, the last moment, right? It's the imprint of the last moment is very influential in how they're going to recall the experience, share it with others, and remember it. And then the last is the community element. How are you continuing that relationship once they've gone? Now, why this appears after leading your team is because you as the leader or the experience creator, you probably know this. Like, you're sitting there going, yeah, Caroline, like, I know that about all my guests coming. Like, I thought about that. The question is, does your team know that? And I think this is where the breakdown happens, right? For example, let's say a hotel. Let's say that we have a guest checking in. The front office staff, maybe there's some issues. Do the front office staff, like the receptionist, know the process that guest has gone through to get this booking? Do they know what their website looks like? Do they know how the booking works? Do they know what the hotel looks like on booking.com as opposed to maybe it's on Airbnb? Do they know all that ins and outs so that when the guest comes and goes, oh my gosh, I had the worst experience booking with Airbnb because the pictures and da da da, are they able to respond in a way that's like, I know exactly what you mean. I've seen that exact picture on that website. I know what you're talking about. Or are they sitting there going, oh, sorry to hear that. Okay. With nothing else to say, you know, that's just it's a small example, right?
It's veiled empathy, right?
It's so interesting. Are they actually understanding? And I came across this a lot at Cirque du Soleil. The first 30 minutes of my training, and again, I mentioned it was very quick training. I had like 2-3 hours to train them. But the first 30 minutes was helping them fall in love with Cirque du Soleil. You know, some of my staff were already fans. Some of them, this was just, you know, their third job. They needed to pay the bill. They couldn't really care less. But It was, how can I teach them a little bit about Cirque du Soleil so that when they're speaking to the guests and I'm standing on the floor listening, I'm not there going, oh my gosh, why did they say that? That's not even true, you know, or saying, oh, I don't know. If they're able to say, oh yeah, so this show has, you know, just come from North America. Now this is the first city in Europe and
yeah,
different elements like that. And so that's why I think that spending time to not only understand the journey of your guests, like how they are actually going through each stage of the experience, but also are you involving the staff, your team in that process? And yeah. I think often the answer is no, or a little bit, maybe if there's time, right? And so that's why that element is really key for me, because it elicits incredible customer conversations. It elicits these beautiful bonds that you make with customers over a unique piece of information that maybe you know and that they picked up on that you can actually engage with them on. So it's highly important.
So, or even like what do they love about the show, right? Now that they've fallen in love with it, what is that little thing for them? Because that could be something different for someone else, but also like you will talk about it differently, right? I mean, just the tone, the way your eyes open up about it, the way you sort of your body language. So that really, that's awesome. You start there. All right. I know it's getting later in Montenegro, so I don't want to take too much of your time. I know you're not eating dinner. It's way too early for dinner time probably there, but I love asking people where they get their inspiration from. I'm personally inspired by the responses that I get as well, but where do you get your inspiration from?
Yeah, I think the first standout answer would be the Mediterranean Sea. We've already spoken about it, but I'm actually waiting here just for it to get a tiny bit warmer, and then I'm straight in there. I just stare at it every day, and it's a bit cold right now. But there's something so magical, like we mentioned at the beginning, and when I'm under the water, it just does something to me. And anyone that is ocean lovers, sea lovers that are listening, I'm sure you're nodding going, yeah, I get it. It's the same. The Mediterranean is something. And I do a lot of writing around that. And I feel like I find different ways of expressing myself and speaking, especially when you're conversing in different languages. You know, I'm learning Greek right now. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting to learn about how other languages are formed and how you say things in other languages. So the Mediterranean is where I'll start there. And then the second kind of the same as you is that even on my podcast, The Experience Creators, I'm interviewing highly creative people, and I love to get their different insights into these questions that I ask them. And sometimes I'm like, oh yeah. But other times I think, whoa, I never would have pieced those two together. I never would have thought of that. And I'm sure you can attest to this. It's such a beautiful moment where something comes along and you're like, whoa, okay, I need to write that down. I need to re-listen to this and write that down.
By the way, every podcast is like that. I mean, yeah. The one takeaway from, and I kind of expected this not to disagree to the degree that it has though, like this has been the best learning and growth hack on the planet.
Yes.
Right. And everyone's like, maybe I'll say, I'm like, go, don't even like question it. Just go and do it and just go talk to interesting people. I've been in the customer experience space for 20 plus years now. Like I learn something new every week, and my weekends are now like, oh, what could I do next? Right. So it's really cool.
Listening, having conversations with people from different places to you, you know, for me,
totally
that's
agree.
Kind of a given because I'm a traveler and I spend most of my time in Europe. And when you're in Europe, there's different people all around you. But even growing up, I was constantly surrounded by people from different places. And I think those that aren't surrounded by different cultures and languages do themselves such a disservice, because it's such a beautiful world to step into somebody else's perspective and learn about how they see things from a completely different perspective than that of your own. And I think it's a totally little bit underrated, but hopefully now especially what we've realized in the last year, connecting with people in a different way from all over, hopefully those conversations are becoming more powerful and what they're resonating, you know?
I hope so. I think the rehumanization of society generally is happening, and it's a wonderful thing to see. Caroline, ευχαριστώ πάρα πολύ. Thanks for coming on the Watchers. Thank you very much. So for listeners who don't speak Greek, that just means thank you very much in Greek. I wish you much success with this program. Before we close out, the Experience Creators, is it iTunes, Spotify, all sort of like regular platforms?
Yeah, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube. And then the program is betteryourexperiences.com. And you can find out all the information there.
Cool. And they can, and you can, they can actually contact you directly through that site as well. They can reach you through there.
Yeah, exactly. So even on that platform, you can go straight ahead and join the program. If you're like, amazing, all in right now, there's an option to book a call with me as well. And then, cool. You know, I think the one way that I connect with a lot of people is on LinkedIn. That's just with my full name that I'm sure you can find the spelling in the notes. But yeah, it'd be a pleasure to speak to anyone after this amazing conversation. I'm excited.
Cool. Awesome. Thanks so much for coming to the show. This was love the energy, love the program. I'm jealous that you're moving to Greece, frankly, but really good luck with that move and good luck with the platform that you're creating. And, you know, would love to have you back on the show sometime if you're up for it.
Thank you so much. This has been amazing. The next episode we'll do from the Greek islands.
Can we do it like together though? Like I want to be maybe in Crete and you can be in where you're going. And then like, you know, we could just like, all right, everybody, that's it for this week. We're out. Talk to you soon, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Be Customer Led with Bill Stakos. We are grateful to our audience for the gift of their time. Be sure to visit us at BeCustomerLed.com for more episodes. Leave us feedback on how we're doing or tell us what you want to hear more about. Until next time, we're out.